Now at Krusty Lou Studios, Bart and Milhouse watch the production crew set up for a show.
Is there any better feeling than waiting for a live Krusty show to start?
Maybe watching your bride coming down the aisle.
Bart imagines himself as a groom watching a zombie bride march down the aisle. He lets her eat his brain.
Why does she get to eat before the reception?
Backstage at Krusty Lou, a machine opens the waistband of Krusty's tuxedo pants and lowers a seltzer bottle into a hidden hoop.
Seltzer bottle connected and pressurized.
Check.
Roll up, Dickie. Set to 6.
Nope. 11. My comedy comes from taking risks or avoiding them. I can't remember.
Krusty, we need to talk.
Make it fast. I got a coiled up spring ready to boing.
The two executives stare.
Oh, why can't I be funny with just my words? Bill Maher doesn't put dangerous things near his crotch, except when he's off work.
Yeah. It's about your vodka, Absolute Krusty.
We're having trouble persuading people it's hip to drink a vodka made by a clown. In a bottle shaped like a clown that does this when you open it.
Always gets me.
Yeah, plus that TV special where you drank another brand of vodka didn't help.
I used up my stuff poisoning deer.
If we're ever going to sell your vodka, we need to do something completely unorthodox. A viral marketing campaign.
Krusty's pants shake.
Get to the point, unless you want a face full of clown chunks.
People are more likely to drink your vodka if they think all their coolest friends are drinking it.
So we pay for a big party at the home of a Springfield trendsetter.
You're Brockman, you're a Bumblebee man.
He invites his cool friends. We serve free cocktails made with your vodka, generating buzz.
We got buzz!
Positive buzz.
That exists? Wow!
So, all you have to do is find one of your loyal fans whose house we can trash and friends you can exploit.
Krusty self-control launches him into a wall.
I need a drink. Not that! Never that!
Mr. Teeny offers Absolute Krusty. Later.
Hey, kids! Who wants to host a viral marketing event?
Yay!
All you have to do is write me a letter about how hip and influential your parents are.
Milhouse, I'm gonna win that thing.
How do you know, Bart? Maybe for once I'll win.
Children of troubled marriages not eligible.
No!
Now at the Simpsons house.
So, why are you here? Is it about that unauthorized Krusty lookalike I hired for Lisa's first communion? What was his name?
Crappy the Clunk. See?
Homer, we're here to throw the most redonkulous marketing outreach this town's ever seen. All you have to do is invite every cool person you know.
Hey, I wrote the application. Do any of my friends get to come?
One friend. He can listen to music with headphones on. He gets one slice of cheese pizza. And if the party gets slow, he has to pretend to let Krusty save him from drowning.
Redonkulous!
Off the dilge!
Now, a banner on the Simpsons home reads, Absolute Krusty presents Celebrating Friendship with the Stimpsons. Inside, Springfielders mingle.
This party is so much better than the crummy ones we planned.
I hope Bart's having fun.
In the basement.
And that's why John Gielgud is more of a father to me than my own father.
Where's the nachos you promised?
There'll be time enough for nachos.
Why can't I go to the grown-up room?
You said the clown scared you.
Well, he did a little.
In the living room.
Boy, everyone from the nuclear plant is here. Except the bosses, of course.
Yeah. Even Homer's not dumb enough to invite...
So, this is the famous party.
He eyes Lenny and Carl.
Fui.
As Mr. Burns makes his entrance, displeased guests step away.
He's destroying our youthful demographic!
Oh, God, I need a drink!
He guzzles non-crusty vodka. So now Burns approaches the Hibberts and a friend.
I was in an anecdote once.
I have surgery in the morning.
Yeah, and I'm the one having the surgery.
They leave. Burns hangs his head.
Homer, you're the nominal host. Do something.
Mr. Burns, so glad you're here. Finally, the party can get started.
Your cotillion seems to be in full promenade.
Good one. Mr. Burns, everyone is dying to hear you sing karaoke. Come on, just pick a popular song.
Do you have anything by Prince Wilhelm of Prussia?
I have 16 million songs, but no.
Just play the oldest, stupidest thing in your catalog.
Let me check my beeswax cylinders. Ah, here we are.
Come, Josephine, in my flying machine.
Going up, she goes, up, she goes.
Balance yourself like a bird on a beam.
In the air, she goes, there she goes.
May you all fly in an aeroplane someday.
You certainly seem to be enjoying yourself, sir.
Indeed. That Homer Simpson is the beating baboon heart of this party.
So he says, bigamy is having one too many wives. To which I replied, so's monogamy.
Oh, yeah.
I may have a use for this Simpson character higher up in the organization.
Really? Well, as safety inspector, he hasn't exactly set the world on fire. Although he came close several times.
Now in Mr. Burns' office.
Simpson, you're probably wondering why you're here.
It's never good. I always wind up being chased by hounds or falling through a trapdoor or being a peg in your game of human croquet.
When I made you a hoop, you split your pants. Now, here at the plant, there's no position more important than our accounts man, who's responsible for glad-handing our customers and suppliers. I'd like you to take over that position.
The last thing I understood in that was pants.
Just give me your answer and make it quick. Our current account man, Robert Marlowe, here is retiring at the end of the month.
In 2 weeks, the only tie I'll be wearing is for autoerotic pleasure.
Yes, Simpson, only you have the bonhomie and rotund charm to replace him. It means a hefty expense account and a corner office.
Well, in that case...
Before you say yes, Simpson, I feel it's my duty to warn you. Account men lose their soul.
Woohoo! No more church!
Now Homer leaves his building at the plant.
So long, Sector 7G. Hello, Sector 22F.
He enters a skyscraper labeled Executives Building and rides an elevator to a chic office suite. The suite includes a masseuse, an omelet bar, a bowling alley, and a sexy secretary. His gaze darts back to the bowling alley. A worker paints Homer Simpson accounts on a door. Passing through, Homer enters a private corner office.
The higher they rise, the further they fall.
You know, you're kind of a downer. I thought you were retiring. Why are you still here?
Hey, you're a baby account man, still on the bottle. So, for my last good deed before I retire, I'm going to help you persuade Mayor Quimby to sign off on a nuclear rate hike.
Uh-oh, a meeting with the mayor? How do I prepare for that?
Marlowe pours him a bourbon.
I see.
Homer downs it.
Now, how do I prepare for the meeting with the mayor?
Marlowe repours. Homer drains his glass.
I am really enjoying this, but, hello? Meeting with the mayor?
Marlowe pours him the last of the bourbon and chucks the bottle.
Bourbon go bye-bye.
There ain't enough bourbon in Kentucky for you, big guy.
Yeah, the governor wrote me a letter to that effect.
Now at the Loin King.
Well, I can't believe I'm eating steak with the mayor. The next time I vote for you, it's going to be on purpose. Much obliged. Now, where would you like to discuss your proposed tax breaks?
Marlowe leads the mayor away. Outside, Lenny and Carl come up to the window.
Hey, Homer!
Look at you, man!
I've outgrown you!
Homer reaches for a wine bottle.
Mr. Mayor! More peanut nor?
Lenny and Carl linger, glaring in at him. Homer dips a finger in a ramekin of foie gras and uses it to outline Lenny and Carl's facial features on the window glass.
Say what you will, man. He's pretty resourceful.
In a stadium skybox.
Wow, these seats are amazing.
And if you don't like the score, you can change it yourself.
A remote puts the Adams in the lead.
Boring!
He makes the scores closer.
God, what a great game. And you too can be on the winning team, Mr. Mayor. The Springfield Nuclear Team. I have never heard an analogy involving sports. I love it.
Back in the office suite.
I can't believe that was work.
Yeah, but work is over now. Want a drink with me till I fall asleep?
Oh, well...
Homer eyes a picture of his family.
I really should look at this picture a little longer.
He regards it forlornly.
Okay, let's go.
Great. Now, in honor of my last day on the hamster wheel, I have a little gift for you. This set of bar tools has been passed down from account man to account man since the dawn of history, 1956.
Can you be my dad?
If your mom was a secretary, there's a good chance I am.
Now, at home, Marge greets Homer in a sexy nightie, cocktail in hand.
Welcome home, handsome.
She kisses him hungrily.
It's a rat race, but it looks like I won.
Oh, to the victor go the spoils.
Dad, you were supposed to read me a bedtime story.
Oh, sorry, sweetie. Bart can read it to you.
The couple hurries upstairs.
Read to Lisa? Why don't you just ask me to kiss her?
If you kissed her, that would be lovely.
I'll read.
And kiss.
Does anyone want my opinion?
Please, Lisa, I had 18 martinis today.
Now Lisa climbs into bed.
All right, Lisa, let's get this stupid bedtime story over with.
Proceed to the page with the butterfly bookmark as I cuddle up with Madam Bunny.
She hands him a copy of Little Women.
If Genius...
Genius.
Is eternal patty... Pata... Pati...
Patience! Patience! Get on with it!
Shut up, shut up! I'm a bad reader, okay?
Well, I could help you.
I don't want your help. I'll get one of those jobs where you don't need to read, like French fry maker or general.
Well, you're getting my help.
Forget it.
Don't you want to be able to read the things people carve into your chest in prison?
I guess.
Now in a suit and fedora, Homer nods off while riding a commuter train. He wakes as it pulls into Springfield Station. Later, he gets into a white station wagon. The driver, an unfamiliar woman with a red bouffant, looks at him. Two kids sit in back.
Close enough.
They drive off, chased by another businessman. At a Japanese restaurant, Homer passes a contract to a businessman who signs it. A chef chops it up. Homer sweeps the pieces into a briefcase. Now at an office party, he rides a green lawnmower past his drinking co-workers. He runs over Smithers' foot. Blood sprays a few co-workers. Smithers collapses and grabs his ankle. Now Homer approaches his house. Through a window, he spies Marge sleeping on the couch. He gets back in his car and drives to Moe's. Going in, he finds Moe asleep on the bar. A mug of beer at his head bears a note for Homer. He kisses Moe's cheek and smiles gratefully. Later, he nurses the beer. Now Bart reads to Lisa.
But when the helpful voice was silent, the daily lesson over, the beloved presence gone, and nothing remained but loneliness and grief, then Jo found her promise very hard to keep.
We did it, Bart!
Lisa hugs him.
I'm a mentor.
Big deal. You taught me to read one book.
No, Bart. You can read other books, too.
What?
Downstairs, Homer drinks in the dark. He jiggles the ice in his glass as Marge comes in.
Homie, what are you doing?
My work is so meaningless.
You make electricity. It runs the hospital.
You can't touch electricity, Marge. You can't feel it.
That's because it would kill you.
It already is killing me, Marge. You're the only one I can talk to. My wife just doesn't get it.
I'm your wife.
My job is my wife. Loneliness, my mistress. Despair, my sex buddy. Angst is a chick I met online, but then it turned out it was really a guy.
I'm going to bed.
You don't understand me. Only she understands me.
Maggie shakes her rattle.
Another round, kid?
He offers milk. Maggie shakes her head, staggers drunkenly to a kitty car with a raggedy doll inside, and drives into a wall. She guiltily puts her doll in the driver's seat and leaves. Homer spies two policeman dolls in a toy squad car nearby.
Hey, I got here after you did.
At a glamorous apartment.
I'm sorry to bother you at home, Mr. Marlowe, but my husband's acting pretty odd. Coming home late, drinking in the morning.
Wake me when you get too odd.
I don't suppose you'd consider taking your old job back so homie can go back to his old job.
Sorry, Marge, that account job hollowed me out like a cheap chocolate bunny. I've been divorced 3 times, I've got a cocktail addiction, a shrimp cocktail addiction, and I can't stop bending women to my sexual will.
Well, you certainly won't be bending me.
She's suddenly in his bedroom.
Hey, how did I end up in your bedroom?
Lady, I am smoother than an Eisenhower-era freeway.
Look, I came to talk about
now
my
she's in a robe as Marlowe showers.
How did we get in here?
I think better in the shower. There's room in here for two.
I'm a happily married
back
woman.
In his living room.
Wow, no woman's ever done that to me before. Your husband is a lucky man.
I know, and I don't want him to stray from anything except his diet. And I don't really want him to do that.
Marge, I made a big mistake years ago. I gave up on my family. Then I gave up on my secret other family. I missed my son's graduation, my father's funeral, and my dog's best in show. Don't let Homer make the mistakes I did.
Luann arrives.
Luann?
It's not what you think.
It's much weirder.
Kirk wears bondage gear. In the schoolyard, Bart reads.
You're reading a chapter book! For fun! Bullies! To me!
Jimbo, Dolphin, Kearney join Nelson.
Let's see the name of this wedgie ticket.
Little Women? Are you aware that's another way of saying girls?
Look, I had to read it to my sister.
Well, maybe we should hear a little.
And then maybe you'll be hearing from my sisters.
Your fists are sisters?
Yeah, Pocahontas and Sacagawea.
Nice save.
Get reading!
Later, the bullies listen attentively.
And Amy and Joe hugged one another close, and everything was forgotten in one hearty kiss. End of chapter 8.
You can't stop now. I want to know if their father comes home.
Does Jo learn to handle her hasty temper?
Does Amy get over her conceitedness?
Well, come on, guys. It's getting dark.
Okay, but you better be here tomorrow after school.
Because we're going to keep making you read as a lame old girl's book.
The bullies leave.
Bart needs to work on differentiating the character voices a little better.
I know. I keep going, why is Meg saying that? And then I realize it's Beth.
That's right.
In his office, Homer uses a golf club to chip live fish into his fish tank.
Your wife is here, Mr. S.
Tell her I'm at a meeting, not drinking.
This is a whisper amplifying intercom.
Homer, I want you to come with me and the kids on a family vacation.
Of course, family is everything to us company men.
He sips bourbon.
Now, where shall we go on your vacation?
The farthest thing from this office I know. Rafting down Rattler River Canyon.
She shows a brochure. Burns waits outside.
That's great. Let me run the numbers because I really want the Simpson account. And give these cigars to your children.
Don't talk to me like I'm a client.
You're not a client. You're the client.
As she goes, Burns comes in.
Simpson, put on your charm their pants off pants. The mumpy shofs in Washington are sending their sternest band of nuclear regulators, hand-picked to resist all blandishment.
I'll handle it,
Burns
I always do.
Burns buys the brochure.
Rafting, eh? It's a perfect way to entertain them. Finally, humanity has found a use for water.
Mr. Burns, I can't go rafting with you because... Wait a minute, could this all work?
In Homer's mind, interlacing cogwheels of Burns and Marge turn, followed by more Springfielder cogs. A Flanders cog arrives.
No, you don't!
Coggly-doggly!
It all fits. Mr. Burns, rafting it is.
Excellent.
Burns leaves.
But Mr. S, you just promised this week to Mrs. S, Master B, and Mamsell's L&M.
Now relax, Dottie. Leave everything to me.
He chips an iguana into a habitat. On a river raft.
Oh, Marge, this is the most romantic trip you ever nagged me into.
And maybe when we get home, we can ride down something else.
Not sure what you're going for, but...
Homer spies Burns rafting with clients on a neighboring branch of the river.
Marge, why don't I catch us some salmon?
He swims to a spit of land, runs across, and swims to Burns' tiki-themed raft.
It's about time. We've been making small talk about Mussolini for 15 minutes.
Well, I found that contact lens I was missing. Let me just screw her back in.
He pokes his own eyeball, which puckers inward.
So, everybody good?
Why did you get us Diversity Kittens on Melting Pot Mountain?
A DVD.
With a ball of yarn if it has all the colors in it.
And yarn should be allowed to marry dental floss.
Yarn and floss ride a boat into a tunnel of tolerance, as do tape and stapler and paper clip and eraser.
If you've got that, then...
Bart views drunk girls who signed waivers.
Are you sure you're Martin Scorsese?
Enjoy the outdoors, you stupid kid!
Homer ejects the DVD.
This family time is so precious. Gotta go!
As he swims off with the disc, his family stares. Homer reaches the spit of land, stops to relieve himself, then returns to the raft with Burns and their clients.
Homer! I want a Long Island iced tea, America's most complicated cocktail.
As Homer mixes the drink, the river branches merge.
Homer, are you schmoozing those men?
Homer dives into the water and floats between the rafts.
I think we're supposed to get off here.
Take us out first. Anyone can start a family. These days, no one can find a job.
Let's see. My family gives me love and sex. My work gives me money and sleep.
Hurry, we're heading for
the waterfall plunges hundreds of feet.
My co-workers are like a family, but in some ways my family is like a family too.
For God's sakes, Homer, I've given you 3 children.
Whose side are you on?
Yours, homie. I'm always on yours.
Marge smiles sweetly. Paddling his legs, Homer pushes his family's raft to safety.
How ironic. I survived the Titanic by making a raft out of steerage passengers. And now this.
Mr. Burns, your heart will go on.
On a jet ski, Marlo rescues Burns. The clients go over the falls.
Marlo, I thought you retired.
I can't. Treasury bills are paying nothing. Nothing!
Later.
Well, Simpson, you were willing to let me go over a waterfall, but you cut operating expenses by 6%, so you're forgiven.
Thanks. Now, if you'll excuse me, I don't really like bourbon or business talk. Just good old Simpson family fun. Hey, kids! I'm it!
Bart and Lisa chase him merrily. Homer trips on a rock and falls into the river. The current carries him over the falls. From a cliff's edge, Bart and Lisa peer down worriedly.
I'm okay! And I found some gold!
See? Luckiest man in the world.
Later in bed.
Oh, I'm so glad you're not an accounts man anymore.
Yep, your worries are over. I'm back to being a boring old safety inspector at a nuclear power plant.
In her crib, Maggie wakes to find a plush bear and a necktie beside her. She buries her face in her hand. This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from the Fox Broadcasting Company. Described by Kate O'Toole, read by Pat Lentz.